Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
So, like, I just have a big pile of cables on the floor because I had to empty all that stuff out because of moving. And so I had to dig through all that to find my mic cable at,
check,
like, 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, hey!
Hi. Oh!
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Weird. So apparently I have to set the automatic sensitivity or else it won't send my voice at all.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Discord can sick kiss my entire ass.
The long one?
Yay.
The long entire ass, yes.
Huzzah.
Entire ass. I mean, come on. Let's
like
just go for it. The full meal deal. And they'll give you like a Dairy Queen dessert at the end of it.
Is this like one big kiss or multiple
Ooh,
kisses
I like
across
Dairy,
the entire
I like
ass?
Dairy Queen desserts. What are we talking about?
Oh, good Lord.
That wakes
some
up
ice cream assets.
Hey, I want ice cream so bad.
Yeah, I want to keep all this content. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun party cast lined up. Aki's here. Chris is here. Pernell's here. Andy's here. And George is here. Norg is back on the show. I'm so happy he's here. George, how are you?
Big crap. I don't know where I am or what I'm doing or what are these things in my mouth? Oh, they're teeth. Oh, fabulous.
Oh, thank God you went with teeth.
Man, it's weird not to be like out driving late for the day job. And I'm really happy to be here. It's been way too long.
It has been too long. So we're going to make up for it. Just monologue right now. Was the year 1847.
Back in my day, we didn't have any grass. We had to smoke the dirt, and we liked it. We loved it, because that's the way it was.
How are you? How's things?
I like it.
Things are great. I'm working a lot. We had to let somebody go at the day job, and I am filling their role and probably won't be replacing them for the next 6 months. So send thoughts and prayers. Like, pretend it's a shooting. Just send thoughts and prayers and everything will fix itself.
Oh, God.
Did I say that out loud?
Nah, I mean, you're do, good. Right? Yeah, basically.
You know, it's funny. Actually, I'm going to plug something. I'm part of a project called the Birthday Fairy. And what it is, since I mentioned it, what it is it is a method of commemorating the birthdays of individuals who did not make it through a mass shooting of some kind. Oh. So what we do is we will talk a little bit about the event that brought their life to an end, but we will also make a point of highlighting some of the things that made them amazing individual human beings on the day of their birth. And each one gets released on their birthday, and it's cathartic in a lot of ways, because for a lot of us, and again, forgive me for waxing a teeny bit political here, we're helpless. And when this project came up and they asked if I would get involved in it, I was falling all over my face to say yes, because just the one little thing we can do to try to remember people and make them less of a statistic. So it's called the Birthday Fairy Project. You can find it on Facebook, and you'll hear my voice and a ton of other actually talented voice actors who are providing commentary on each of those birthdays. And it's kind of a feel-good kind of thing. It's a reminder in a way, but it's also a good way to actually get to know some of these folks.
That's beautiful. Is there a way to donate to them?
You know, I don't know if they're taking donations at this time. However, she did just recently score a new voice actor who was kind of following things on Twitter. And then she asked if he wanted to get involved, and he said, yeah, I'm in. And so his recording of one of the birthdays has been released. So the very legendary Mark Hamill has contributed
Whoa.
To this project now.
Dang.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
Dude is a living legend. When I found out that he wanted to get involved in it, it's like, talk about a guy who's living his best life.
Seriously.
And contributing in amazing, amazing ways. So, yeah, it's very worth checking out.
Wow, that is a really, really cool cause. I'm glad you brought that up.
I had no, I did not walk in here expecting to either remember it or bring it up. But yeah, it's I highly recommend giving it a look and giving it a listen. It's very worthwhile, I think. Almost as worthwhile as scraping broccoli out of a bowl.
It's solid throwback, too. I love that.
Yes.
That's quality.
Almost, but not quite.
For now, how's the broccoli?
I'm guessing that's why he's muted, because after you eat all that broccoli and cheese, things happen. You're a ticking time bomb.
That's the direction we're taking this now, isn't it?
in a long ass direction.
That's right. Watch out where you put the hyphen there.
That's usually where we take it, isn't it?
Yeah, we do take it in ass directions quite frequently.
Like, sir, this is what you get when you let me on.
I know. And when we don't let you on, it's
tangents.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's you.
We end up talking about like internet connections and cables. So
we also have,
listen here, fuck snort.
What the fuck?
And of course the now legendary
wet pancakes.
It's like my past is coming back to haunt me. I'd forgotten about that first.
Dude, you've been doing this show with me. Like, I talk about people who've been around for a long time. You've been around since like day one.
I mean, like your show is almost as old as my oldest kid. It's bizarre.
I know. We're turning 12 in just a few months.
I was gonna say, I think it is as old as my oldest cat.
Oh, wow, that's an old cat.
He's getting on.
I was going to say old ass cat, but then like, again, it would.
Oh, no, you can. Yeah, you can say that about him.
Is it an old ass cat or is it an old ass cat? Or is the answer yes?
I guess it depends on what you mean by ass cat.
Breed? Is there an ass cat breed? Maybe.
The Himalayan ass cat.
That has nothing to do with the publishing company.
A Himalayan ass cat, did you say, yes. Joe?
Yes, the Himalayan ass cat.
There you
all
go.
Right, looking
Himalayan
this up.
Something, all right.
No, it's not real. I made that up.
Joe, you're just so funny.
It's real if we goodness. Believe hard enough, Joe. Yes. It's real if we believe hard enough.
Believe in the ass cat.
Keep believing in the ass cat, and it will be yours.
I'm interested in knowing.
So what kind of voice work have you been up to lately?
I mean, a lot of not particularly exciting stuff and some other really exciting stuff. There's a... At some point, probably in the next year or so, there is a Korean animation dub that came out. That is going to come out, an English dub. And I get to play a few characters in the series, and my youngest daughter gets to play a character in the series, which is super fun. And I can't wait to talk about it a little bit more once we're given the go-ahead to actually talk about it. Other than that, I think the only time that anybody would hear me, but they don't actually know they're hearing me, is there was a... psoriasis commercial last year, and
yes,
like people were like messaging me like, wait, was that you? Yeah, that was me. And then more recently it was a beverage called Olipop, and I'm sure you've seen it in stores. Yeah, okay, so like, what's your favorite flavor?
It's like a strawberry one. I like, it's like a strawberry rhubarb.
Okay, yeah. The strawberry rhubarb one is good. The cherry cola one is pretty good. And the root beer is fantastic. And I'm glad I checked it out before I did the recorded session with the production company, because they invited people from the actual Olipop company on. And the first thing they ask is like, have you tried our product? I'm like, yeah. What's your favorite flavor? Shit, I only liked two of them. It was cherry cola and root beer. And like, oh, those are good choices. And I'm like, oh, thank God, now pay me. And it was
all
great.
The Olipop money.
They were fun to work with, and I only had to say like three or four lines. So if you've seen that commercial with the farmer dude and the other guy jogging down the road, and he pops open an Olipop and shares it with the guy. you hear a voice that sounds nothing like me at the very end of it. And that's me, because the audition that I put in was nothing like the voice that they decided to go with at the very end. So, yeah, that's probably the only other high profile commercial I've done in a while.
What was the word that you said when it was your voice? Was it like, "Oh, pop, the drink that does not taste like sugar"?
What are they using? Stevia for the sweetener? I didn't even actually look at the label, because like I tasted it and it was like, oh, this is the stevia aftertaste, which means that for me, there are only like two or three flavors that I'm going to be able to take in, because like stevia doesn't do it for me. There are certain, some Stevia's flavors do okay, but yeah,
disgusting.
It is if you don't mix it with the right combination of flavors. Again, for me, I know. Green. For some people, it doesn't make any difference, but I'm weird, and stevia mixed with some flavors just does not jive. Like, for example, the regular good looking cola.
Flavors, though.
You guys have to try the Barbie one and let me know how that is. I almost got it, but I decided not to, because, like, to be fair, it's a little bit on the expensive side. My wife wanted to know what kind of bougie stuff I was peddling when she looked it up after I told her that I was going to be doing the commercial. But like, yeah, it was like $2 a can on sale. Like, what? So, yeah, but check it out, I guess. I like the cherry cola and the root beer. Those seem to do a really good job of masking the whatever the sweetener was for me.
I will say what bugs me about those drinks. You make a good point about them. You like how expensive they are. Like the whole point of drinks like Olipop, and there's a couple others I've been trying to drink recently. They're supposed to be like, hey, do you like soda but don't want the awfulness that is soda? Well, we're trying to make soda alternatives, and you should drink one. And it's like, I think you guys missed the most important part, and that's that soda's cheap. Like, you can't be selling six packs of Olipop for $12 and think I'm going, well, I don't want sugar, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, think about it. When you, during the height of the pandemic, you were still paying $12 for a 12-pack of, like, store brand soda at pop. And, like, there was nothing to be done about that. And some of those prices are only now starting to come down, so that you can get, like, a 12-pack of Coke Zero for maybe $7 or $8 if you can get a good sale and like buy two get two free or some nonsense like that. But some companies really do the zero sugar thing really well. Coca-Cola, in my mind, when they changed their flavor of the Coke Zero, they nailed it. It's like I'll drink that before I'll drink regular Coke. It's just for some reason that flavor does it for me. Pepsi changed their flavor and it is also pretty good now, but I won't
touch. I'm not a fan of current Coke. Pepsi. I like the Pepsi with the real sugar, and I'm a fan of good. Coke with real sugar.
Also the Dr. Pepper strawberry. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I really still like Wild Cherry Pepsi.
Yeah.
Wild Cherry is good, too. Pepsi's good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that made me happy as a clam, though. Strawberries and cream.
That is one of two non-Dr. Pepper sodas that at one point in my life actually did topple Dr. Pepper as my favorite.
Wow.
Yeah. The other one was Vanilla Coke, because
Vanilla Coke's a classic.
It's so good. And they brought it back.
I like my dudes.
I don't know if they took it away at any point, but I couldn't find any for like a long time. And then finally I've started seeing it in stores again.
Which one was that?
Vanilla Coke.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time. They might be reintroducing it in certain markets. I haven't seen it here in ages.
Oh, I see.
My wife really loves the spiced, like the regular or the zero version cola.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I like that one. I don't think it's lasting, though. I think they're getting rid of that one.
I keep seeing it go away, but then it'll come back for a little bit, and then I'll grab like three 12-packs for her because I know that the next time I go there, it's not going to be there, and who knows? At some point, it might not actually be there anymore. The one thing I will say that is a total scam, and there, it's not a conspiracy, it's just a scam. All y'all have had Fanta at some point or another, and we have a lot of different flavors over here. We have orange, we have pineapple, we have whatever. On the other side of the Atlantic pond, you can get lemon Fanta, and it is the single best lemon-flavored carbonated refreshment beverage on the planet. You cannot get it in the United States. You can order it from Amazon UK, and you'll pay $30 for the case, and you'll pay twice that in shipping, but you cannot, and I did it once for Amy's birthday because that's how much I love my wife, but you cannot get it stateside. And it's bizarre that you can't do that. And I don't understand it. And somebody needs to speak up about it. There are definite problems in the world if that's not the kind of thing you can get in this continent.
I'm looking at Lemon Fanta on Amazon right now for $25 a case with free shipping.
Are you sure that's Amazon US and not UK?
It's Amazon.com. It's US.
Yeah, it might be somebody importing it. That
it
happens.
It could be somebody importing it.
Since Amazon's like a lot of individual sellers now instead of actual Amazon.
Whoa. Okay. 6-pack of Fanta Lemon, $24.69.
Oh, man. The picture showed more.
Indeed.
I'm looking to see where it's shipping from because that could be very telling about whether it's like an importer.
Oh, yeah. The 24 packs, $53.86.
Yep.
It's pretty nuts.
And again, once in a while, it's worth it because it's Fanta Lemon and it is so good. But okay,
I'm
sold
gonna
by,
have to try it. God damn it, George.
Sold by Epico. I think that is an importing company. But like, yeah, there's like that, what is it, San Pellegrino's Limon or what, not at San Pellegrino. What's the fancy lemon thing with the aluminum foil you have to peel off the top of it before you can open the can?
Oh, I don't remember.
But yeah, that one's good, but it's not Lemon Fanta. How did we get on this tangent? Why does this happen every time, Joe? Oh, wait, it's me.
We love sodas.
We're talking about voice acting, and then we talked about sodas, and now we're talking about Lemon Fanta.
That's right. Yeah. See, man, you should never let me on this show. We should review a game, though, because in about 10 minutes, I need to run back into the house and get something out of the oven so that the house doesn't burn down.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is Arco. Are we ready for reviews? Should we?
let's just dive into it. Here we go. Hit it. Read your thing.
Arco, developed by Franek, Max Cahill, Bibicki, and Fair, published by Panic, released August 15th on Switch and Steam for $19.99. Enter the breathtaking world of Arco, a dynamic tactical RPG where your decisions shape the story. Three tales forged in bloodshed, laced with magic, and united by revenge. George, tell us about Arco.
Buy this game.
Okay, thanks so much for coming on, George. It's always a pleasure.
Peace out. Okay, fine. So I saw this like in my Google feed, and every once in a while, especially now that I got an ROG Ally X, because I've always wanted a handheld PC kind of thing, and I've been skipping out on them, and this one came up, and I ended up grabbing it because I can also run Cubase on it and use it as a portable recording device, but that's another story for another time. I ended up getting this because now I can play Steam games on the road. So Joe hit, I told Joe I really wanted to check this out for him, and he sent it over. And it's pretty much everything I had hoped for and more. Like, the thing that really got me was, like, the differentiating art kind of stuff. Because you have some graphic art in there that is fantastic, but then it's very suitably low res for most of the rest of the gameplay. The thing that really got me into it was the feel of the music. The music is absolute chef's kiss. There is no question about it whatsoever. I could just sit and listen to the music all day, and I will probably go and try to find an actual soundtrack or see if they'll sell the soundtrack or something, because
soundtrack's available on Steam.
Yes! Okay, I'm gonna have to go pick that up later.
$8.50.
It worth it. Seriously, it is a great soundtrack. One of the things that I thought was kind of weird is this. I'm not going to give away too much of it because whoever's listening to this is going to want to actually get the experience. Yeah. There are very dark elements to the story. And one thing that at first to me was, and I say to me because I'm weird, it was kind of off-putting, was the fact that the dialogue felt, in contrast, kind of half-baked and almost... at first, it felt like it was kind of lazy in a way, almost like it was written by my 14-year-old and her friends who use as little text as possible in order to convey a thing. And it came to a head when I finally realized at one point, I read one of the lines, and it ended the line with an emoticon. Not an emoji, an emoticon. A colon and a right parenthesis. And I was like, okay, I think I'm starting to understand what's happening here. And it grew on me after a while. It's great. Like, every single aspect of this game is so crazy immersive. And it moves fast. And I think that's one of the things that, at first, it was off-putting as far as the dialogue goes, but then it moves, it moves, it moves, and you still get the story, and you get into the game, and you get into the meat and potatoes, and you get into the very, very fascinating turn-based combat system. It's kind of like if you've ever played the board game Diplomacy. Everybody puts in all their turns, and then you hit the button, and it goes. So you tell your character or characters what they are going to do, and then the computer is telling its characters what they are going to do, and it does it. And then it's the next turn. So, for example, if you see that there is a firearm icon above one of the guys across the screen, you can rest assured that they're going to shoot something at you, like the precursors to the NRA that they are. Like, think Ted Nugent, but without the music. So you know what's going to happen in most cases. You're going to see it. They're either going to move, they're going to shoot, they're going to magic themselves, they're going to do something bat guano crazy. And so you have kind of an idea of how you're going to react to that. And then each turn plays out one at a time. Some of the combat rounds are excruciatingly difficult, and it makes you think, and which hurts most of the time. But it moves fast enough that if you tank out during any one of the rounds, you can just start over at the beginning of that round and try again. And it gives you an opportunity to very quickly try different strategies and different things. And again, I don't want to go into too much detail about some of the finer specifics, because that would be spoilers in some cases. But you definitely get to fight a different array of types of things. There are lizards and beetles and, of course, the gunslinging yahoos. And
oh my.
No lions, no tigers, no bears, as far as I saw. But you end up going back and forth between this combat system and to the story and moving in this overworld. I will say that the overworld movement system to me was kind of confusing, because you'd be told that there are places that are being added to your map. And when you hover your cursor over the place that you're going to, or the option of places that you're going to, you're not necessarily entirely certain where it is that you're going. Or at least I couldn't see anything on the screen that indicated this is the location or this corresponds to the mission objective. And that got a bit confusing. But what I ended up doing was just going everywhere and checking everything out. So that was fun. As far as capabilities go for the characters inside each round, they run with a stamina slash kind of magic system. And so stamina is where you're going to be running and shooting. And then there's like the magic system, which is using other types of abilities like speed running or jumping over a hole, that kind of thing. And you have to do things inside each round to regenerate them after you've done something. And yeah, it's very well balanced, and you gain new skills and new abilities as you progress throughout the game. There are items that you can get that you can use to throw at your opponents. You can use them to heal during combat. You can trade with other characters in other villages throughout the game. Sometimes you'll find something for sale that makes absolutely no sense. I highly recommend getting it, because chances are it's going to be useful somewhere else. That's the closest thing to a spoiler I'm going to give you on that one. And just all around, it is a really fun adventure. It's dark. Don't get me wrong. This is a tough story in a lot of cases, but it's very worth checking out.
Very cool. Well, it clocks in at $20. George, what is your verdict on Arco?
It's been a long time since I've been able to say this, but get out there and buy it. It is that good.
Very cool. Again, that is $20 on Switch and Steam, so check it out there. Give her a go.
It is a good expenditure of 20 Earth dollars. Go.
Earth? Like, what other dollars do you have, George?
You don't want to know.
Martian, clearly.
Right, exactly.
I kind of want to know.
Venetian underworld things. Currencies of exceptional natures. I don't know. You lost.
Oh, George, it is always a pleasure having you on the show.
It is always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for letting me jump in and be obnoxious and ADD and just go all over the map.
Well, we have you here. Can we get a live wet pancakes?
Oh, wet pancakes all over your long ass cat.
Will that work?
I love it. Love it.
I'm so
George, have a good one. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
I feel like if I add to that, it's only going to go downhill from there.
That's fair.
I mean, we're already, we're way up here though, so I feel like it's okay.
That's true. Take care, y'all. Good to hear your voices.
Take it easy.
Have a good night, Norg. It's always a pleasure, hey, sir.
Yeah.
Love y'all. Bye.
Oh man, he's a trip. I love when he comes on. So for those who didn't know him, that's Norg. He's the voice of the show. So
besides he's that Joe, guy who also has a voice.
He's that guy where you're like, I want to know a guy who's always on and always wacky. He's the guy. And
he is.
I don't know how he does it, but god damn, it's a joy.
He's done so many weird intros for our show, so many weird songs for the show. He's worked just as hard as even me on the dumb shit that we have done with this. He did an entire stretch through like the 700s where every 10th episode that ended on a 7, he would do airline facts like the Boeing 707, the Boeing 717, the Boeing 727. Nice. So go listen to all of those episodes and listen to some Boeing facts. Yeah.
Boeing facts, even, you'd say.
So anything anyone else wanted to talk about, or should we get to the rest of the reviews?
Let's get down to reviews, unless you got some unnoted Boeing facts that you can add in there.
I don't have any Boeing facts at all.
I guess I'm going to head out because I don't have any reviews.
You're going to head out?
Back. Yeah, I'm going to lurk. Listen to the rest of the show because, yeah, I got unpacking to do. None of my video games are hooked up. I've only got my Switch and 1400 games.
Only.
What are you going to do?
Tough life, bro.
I know.
What, whatever shall you do? It's all rough. You have is your favorite console.
All I have is my favorite console and way too many video games.
I told someone I had 1500 games installed on my Xbox. They're like, they don't make that many games on Xbox.
Like, wow.
If you only knew.
Yeah, I know. I usually get that response when I'm, you know, talk about my Switch collections. People are like, oh, did they even come out with that many games?
There's a whole like, market of games that aren't AAA, you know.
Yeah.
They're quadruple Z level games you get on Switch sometimes.
Sometimes I got a couple of them.
Surprisingly be good. Sometimes they're actually good, too. That's the thing. It's like, I am perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes. And not always.
Sometimes, other times you get Hentai versus Evil. And why does that exist?
Times 20.
Also,
there's like 20 different Hentai collections. I forget. I was like talking about that the other day. But
Switch has a lot of garbage.
Somebody's running a scam. And then, of course, you got, you know, Purnell's favorite, which is, what was it? Hashtag Race Die Run.
Wait, what?
Is that one we're talking about, right?
I don't remember it, but I'm going to have a feeling that if it's maybe because I blocked it out. It sounds terrible.
It's that or some other racing game. It's like a futuristic like hovercraft racing game. And I think I bought it for like 9 cents and you were like, you wasted your money.
That stupid guy. I don't remember the name anymore. That stupid ass game where you're the orb and you're trying to fly around and none of the controls work is a hot piece of trash. God, that game was terrible.
Yeah, I think that's the one. I mean, I could be wrong.
I think that, well, it wasn't hashtag word. I know that much. It was like a one letter. It was a one word name. But yeah, it was bad. It should have had, for all intents and purposes, it should have been good, but it was not good.
Maybe I should issue an apology then to the developer or publisher of hashtag Race Die Run. It may be a case of mistaken identity, but
I mean, it could also be bad. They might take offense to you saying their game is good.
No, it is. It is bad. I have played it, but I don't think that it's the one that you were telling me about. So that's where the confusion is. I'm going to figure this out and then get back with everybody.
Cool. Well, we'll be here for the next few reviews. So if you have an update, come on back.
Okay, I'll bust on in and interrupt somebody in their review.
Just in the middle of review. Oh, guys. Hold up. I know the game.
I got it. All right.
It was Skyrim. Okay, well,
see y'all later then, maybe.
See you later.
Right, bye.
See you shortly, friend.
All right, next game to talk about, Mad Devil's Damned Definitive Edition, developed and published by ITZY Interactive, released August 13th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Mad Devil's is a co-op retro arcade shooter set in a twisted World War II setting. What does an allied special forces squad who hunt Nazi occultists do when betrayed, killed, and resurrected as demons? Their job. Pernell, Andy, both of you played this. Pernell, how about you start? What is Mad Devil's Damned Definitive Edition?
I'm going to be honest with you. Andy is a positive person, so I kind of wish you went with him. But I'm going to leave.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that.
I think I know where we're at, man. So, Mad Devil's Damned Definitive Edition is a game. It's a top-down twin-stick shooter where you control one of two characters, though technically you can control both by way of switching them with a button press. You are traversing the leagues of hell, with the goal being to stop a demon onslaught brought on by a Nazi general who's trying to use it to take on, I wasn't going to say it was like World War II, but basically he's trying to, yeah, obviously, duh, World War II, and the intent being like, you know, kind of overturn the results that we are have come to know and respect. However, there's a caveat to this. In the midst of trying to get to the original point of stopping them, your character and your squad also gets killed, or air quotes killed, and then they are resurrected, they are re-brought back to life as demons. And as demons, you are still engaged with trying to take on your mission, despite the fact that the hellpocalypse is already semi-underway. So, as the game progresses, you're walking around hell, and you have a few abilities at your disposal to engage the enemy. You can fire your gun by mashing your trigger button or holding it down to get a charge shot out of it. If you pull off a charge shot, you do more damage. When the gun runs out of ammo, which is determined by a red bar, probably the first time I've ever seen an ammo gauge defined by a red by like a bar instead of like bullets or a number. You press a button to reload with the traditional hit the button at the right time during the reload process to get some sort of bonus. I've noticed it seems to be more experience points. But honestly, aside from that, I don't know what it gives me. It looks like experience, though. As you play through these games, you'll get experience points from killing monsters, and you'll also acquire red crystals, which can be used to upgrade your character's stats, such as like your accuracy, your damage output. And you can also change the elemental affinity of your firepower or your main gun. The firepower elements range in the form of like fire, light, dark, and ice. And they each have different effects based on like if you're firing a regular shot versus a charged shot. The weapon upgrade stat upgrades cost crystals, and your ability upgrades, such as which I'll talk about in a second, cost experience points. The ability upgrades are four skills that you have, two of which you begin the game with, that can be activated by pressing the control pad to engage them. For example, Asher can fire a phoenix across the screen that can engage enemies and do damage to them if you aim correctly and press the button. Some respects you won't know if you hit them, but you know, whatever. You do it anyway and hope for the best. You'll be moving around this map. It starts out, it's pretty much level-based, but you kind of have a hub world where you start out at. It's considered like a tutorial level at the same time, and eventually you'll find yourself one of your first hell gates, and the hell gates take you to the actual levels in the game. When you're in these levels, enemies will show up and spawn like wildfire. When you see them, shoot. You can take cover if you're lucky, and hopefully not get shot while you are undercover. But Otherwise, yeah, shoot them. Hopefully they're not undercover. And there's a melee attack. Don't bother with it, though. But there is a melee attack you can use also to do damage to enemies. There are also the occasional gates where if you enter them, you do a sort of a mini game challenge where if you win, you'll get something. I don't know what something is because I've never passed one. And whenever you fail one, you have to restart the entire level to try it again. So although the whole level will respawn, the things you upgrade by accident do not. So, oh well, I should stop rambling before I go on to my general actual dialogue about this game. So, Andy, have fun. What you got to say?
Oh, man. Well, so funny thing is, I actually I had some issues with it, and I had messaged Joe earlier today. So Joe and I were on a voice call, a video call. I was sharing with him, you know, some of my gameplay, and I had so many problems. And then he hopped on and it played
like actual like glitches
much,
and things that
much better than it had been playing. But I mean, honestly, initially the game seemed interesting to me. I mean, as you said, it's got kind of a Diablo almost like twin stick appeal to it. You know, I felt like the controls were like pretty straightforward, easy to understand. That red bar definitely threw me off too. I couldn't figure out like the little tab for reload was so close to the end. I didn't feel like it was really like any bonus, you know, that it was going through. For the most part, like I think like things in the game were pretty easy to understand. You know, you go through the level, you fight enemies, you shoot enemies that spawn. You know, I do know that the controls felt a little clunky to me. Movement was a little clunky. Shooting, I don't know, Purnell, if you saw something that was like a hold button to shoot, but I got pretty tired of pressing the button over and over again to shoot every time. So
yeah, unfortunately the holding button only does the charge shot.
Random enemies spawn in order to progress the next area. I really felt like a lot of the enemies were very much like bullet sponges too. They just take so much damage until you start upgrading your gear. It would have been nice if there was like maybe like a variety of enemies too. Like I saw a couple different ones here and there, but they seem to be pretty much the same thing over and over again. Let's see what else. Yeah, holding the button for shooting would have been nice. Maybe I just missed that part, but I'm not really sure. But overall, I mean, like the storyline seemed kind of cool, you know, and that like kind of drew me in too. As Purnell was saying, you know, you're right before you're supposed to end like this Nazi like kind of overthrow. You like shoot this crystal and it like kills everybody and kind of like sends you to hell. So you and like all your army buddies are now demons, which is pretty neat. So it did kind of have that almost like a reverse Hellboy experience, like if you guys are familiar with that. The levels looked cool, nothing really stood out, but I would say the levels were like kind of their own hazards, you know. Locked camera angles threw me off quite a bit.
There were a few times that you would just kind of like stuck behind,
like block
stuff,
you in place. You know, I kept running into things. I kept falling off of things. At one point, I showed Joe that I actually like fell off in between a spot in the level itself, which was kind of clunky. And I had to like restart the whole level just to get that going again. A map would have been really nice to kind of help keeping track of location and where I'm supposed to go. I felt like I got lost a lot in the game. I mean, like, honestly, I don't like to bash a game. There could have been some things that would have been, you know, like better, like a little bit smoother controls, a little bit lighter enemies, maybe difference in enemies too. Like I said, the story seemed like it would have been cool. I mean, I couldn't even make it past the first boss. It was like I was being shot at by people off screen. I couldn't change the camera angle. You know, I felt like there were so many things that were keeping me from actually enjoying this one. So,
all right. Well, it's,
I can honestly
go ahead, Purnell. So, tell us more.
Well, I don't have a ton more to say, but I will say that I mean, even though I'm not one to bash a game, I do have no qualms saying things that just didn't click for me. And for as much as I was like, this game seems like it should be awesome, it just didn't resonate. One thing I noticed right off the bat that drove me nuts, and when games like this do it, I just don't know how they, I mean, I guess they can fix it, but it's just a feeling where your bullets don't seem to have impact. Like, it's one thing if you fire a charge shot at a guy and it actually is the shot that kills it, but if you're shooting it with actual bullets and you're trying to riddle it to death, I generally don't feel like I'm not getting that response, that feedback that says, you're kicking this thing's ass. Keep going. You'll eventually kill it. Which is a real downturn when I play games like this, when it wasn't able to pull that off. Another thing that drives me nuts about this game is typically when a game has a scenario where you kill an enemy and it releases items. In this case, it'll release green orbs, which refills your health, and red orbs, which refills your demon spawn power. Usually when the orbs drop or items drop, they kind of fall in a way where it's like, okay, orbs are falling, go pick them up. In this game, they launch into the sky like a geyser. They go off the screen, and then I have no idea where the hell it went. So I'm like, I really can use some health right now. Too bad it just flew two screens over. Why? I have no idea. But it does that, and it drives me nuts. Another thing that this might just be me, and I'll admit that outright, is that the cover sometimes feels like it's selective. Sometimes I'm undercover, sometimes I'm not behind cover. Even when I have the duck animation underway, I feel like I'm still getting popped by guys that are behind the cover. Or rather, on the other side of the cover, not with me. So I'm like, what the hell is going on here? For me, those may well be the primary things that really burned me on this game. Because I didn't have any glitches. Like, the game I played on Steam Deck, it's running fine. It's just, I just can't make the fun happen. And it makes me sad. But, yeah. I mean, I can't lie to people when I'm supposed to be reviewing it. So I have to say what it is.
Well, it's $14.99. I need a verdict from the both of you. Purnell, what's your thoughts?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with a deny it on this one. This genre is very saturated, and there are too many games for a similar or lower price point that do what this game does far better for me to justify even giving it a try, unfortunately.
Andy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to pass, too. I mean, there was nothing in this that I really enjoyed. And also, sorry if I was talking over you guys, too. My speaker like cut out halfway through that. So I was like, I was reading some of the comments by Dark, and I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry, man.
But he's pointing out your screw-ups live.
I know. But no, it was Twitch. It was not like a, I don't know, it wasn't super enjoyable. I mean, you saw my frustration to it. I mean, I agree with Purnell 100%.
I can understand that. Even, hold on 1 second. I'll get my thoughts out quick. Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, was it, Purnell, was the game Overlanders?
Overlanders? I don't even remember. I don't even recognize that name.
It's another racing game that's kind of like futuristic and kind of bad.
Maybe it's not bad,
though. I don't know. Okay.
It's not Overlanders, but now I'm going to look it up because maybe, wait a minute, is this another bad racer? We're going to just name a ton of bad racing games before this is over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that this one's as bad. It looks better than Race Die Run, but it's like, it's still like futuristic and floaty and, you know.
This is one of those games like Star Wars Episode One Pod Racer.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like you get to be one of the pods instead of the whole pod racer. And it's one of those things where it's like when you turn, like the turn radius is weird. So it's like it feels like there's like a stick in the middle of the vehicle that you're just kind of, you know, spinning the vehicle instead of like actually turning. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm trying to figure out what this bad racing game is, though, that we talked about. I thought it was hashtag Race Die Run.
All I can tell you is if you said you purchased it, it is on your Switch. If you're looking at the image, I remember the icon being the actual ship, like a circular ship with a sort of like, it's almost like two layers, like a ring. And then like whatever's in the center of the ring, that's your ship. And it's at the center of the icon or the thumbnail for the game. I just don't remember what the game itself is called, but...
Oh, yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, I remember that image. Hang on. We're going to figure this out. The show will not continue until then.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, I'm looking at Overlanders right now. Nope, that's not that. And I don't think it's Race Die Run. Oh. But now, yeah, you mentioned the orb. Now it, that, yeah, that's...
I guess it's a very short title. We're talking at most, it may be one word. I mean, two at the most.
Okay, I'm going to continue looking. Y'all continue with the show.
Next game to talk about is Slash Quest, developed by Big Green Pillow and Mother Gaia Studio, published by Noodle Cake. Released August 15th on Steam for $4.99. Slash Quest is a quirky action adventure with unconventional controls and unlikely heroes. Spin a magic talking sword through exotic lands, fight nasty creatures, overcome puzzles, and make friends on your way to reunite it with its rightful wielder, the Queen. Andy, tell us about your time with Slash Quest.
You pretty much took over like my first two paragraphs here, so.
Well, tough.
Read them again. Your voice is good.
That was perfect, man. Slash Quest pairs together the unlikely hero Shep, the shepherd, with Swordy, the queen's talking sword. As you said, together you must slice and dice your way through different levels, battling creatures, solving puzzles, making friends, all to reunite Swordy with the queen. It's a very easy to understand control-based game. It allowed for like very easy pickup and play. Like I had my kids play it and they thought it was awesome, you know, super easy to control. Character can spin and move. It almost feels like you are being pulled by the sword. Like you're kind of controlled. You're kind of controlling the sword and then like your character is just following. So you are guided by directional choices. So essentially you can just like stand in place, you can spin around, you know, slice stuff that's coming at you, or like hold A to, or whatever button you need to move in the direction, you know. You slash your enemies, you use your sword to knock switches or transport key items like fire or bombs. Bombs will like blow up things in your way, rocks and stuff. It's really just a cozy adventure that will leave more like busted enemies than controllers. Like it was like a fun, simple like action adventure, you know, puzzle solver. Puzzle solving, boss battles.
How do the controls work in the game? Is it something like where you are using the analog stick to control the tip of the sword, or is it like a dual analog stick game where you're like pointing and you're controlling the hands, or is it like a driving in reverse where you're pushing the vehicle?
No, so if you use your control stick, for example, and put it to the left, your character will just start spinning in place to the left, or vice versa to the right, you know. And you'll just spin in place as well. If you want to move, then you hold whatever the movement button is for where your controller. So for me it was Xbox controller A. And then, yeah, you are controlling the tip of the sword, I would say, more so than anything. So that kind of guides your character around.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like I said, there's like not much else besides that as far as movement goes. There are lots of customization. There's boss battles. There are power-ups. There's upgradable items. I mean, there's a talking sword in it, you know, the sword actually talks way more than the main character does. There's mini games with seasonal events and leaderboards where you can earn coins and buy new outfits. I mean, there's lots of stuff in this too. Skills and passives are unlocked to purchase, an upgrade. Some, for example, include the stunt sword that summons a giant ghost sword. I think I showed you that one when we were chatting earlier today, too.
Yeah.
Fast feet is another example, which allows you to just run faster through levels. Some passives reflect enemy attacks. Some revive you on death. Some of them even track hidden chests in the level. So each level is kind of set up as and you'll notice towards the end of the level, it'll say how many monsters you killed and how much treasure you obtained and how many chests out of total chests you found, and then if you beat the level, which is pretty cool. So you can go back if you don't find all the chests or anything like that and replay the level if you want to. There are trails that can be equipped and obtained, which basically beautify your sword swings. There's a rainbow trail, snakeskin, sunflowers, moon, bubbles, ice cream, all kinds of things that don't really do anything other than just like make the spinning motion look cooler. You know, the snakeskin creates a nice like scaly effect, you know, or the bubbles just like pop up little bubbles, you know, as you're spinning. It's just fun, you know. There's clothes to customize your look. You can go with a classic sheep herder. I believe I showed you the knight costume, a wizard, snowman, football player. I mean, there's plenty of them that you can discover. Some you can unlock. Even some you can buy from doing some of the mini games and things. You will traverse levels and find characters as well. You free these characters, and then they'll go back to kind of your main hub or main camp, to which they will upgrade skills, they'll sell you new items, or even send you on quests across different map zones, too, once you unlock them. There's lots of replay value in bonus levels, and variety...
You put a chunk of time into this that I see on Steam.
There's a lot.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, tell me.
As I was going to ask, it's clocking in right now at $4.99. It's actually on sale for the next week for 15% off, down to $4.29. What are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, I love this game so much. I mean, I still have more to talk about. There's boss encounters that are fun little puzzle sequences. You've got music that's very bouncy, upbeat. It's like very movement based. You're bouncy. You know, I am bouncy. I'm a bouncy guy. Levels are colorful, full of life. There's plants and little monsters running around to chop. Nothing was like too in your face. Nothing was difficult. I never died in a level, anything like that. You know, but it didn't feel overly easy. It was just enjoyably easy, I would say.
Cool.
Amazing game. I would say it's a steal for the price, to be honest. It's $5. I mean, you're getting a lot of content, and it seems like more content coming out with like seasonal puzzles and mini games they're sending out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good one.
Pick it up. $5. Right. You got $5.
I do. I'm gonna pick it up after the show. So
I'll gift it to you after the
racing
show.
Racing game. Is it VSR?
Yeah, I think it's Void Space Racing.
Yes, it is. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I was just about to interrupt again. Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
Was it
picture as I described it?
Yeah, yeah, it is actually exactly that. You can see like the ship in its little ring, and then you can see like VSR at the top, and then
it kind of looks like your controllers in a steering wheel.
Yeah,
I also remember the guy, the developer, listened to the episode and then came back and said like that he can prove that it's a user issue, which if it is, so be it. But he said he could prove it was a user issue because he said he could beat a race in like record time. And I was like, okay, well,
I mean, he made the game. He made the record. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But no, I get it. I mean, I you know, that's neither here nor there. I just... Of the bad space-based racing games, I guess we just named three of them. Well, actually, my legitimate apologies to Overlanders. I actually don't know if this game is good or not. I bought it and did not review it or anything like that. So, but yeah, I should play it. All right. It's definitely better than...
So, next game to talk about is Overland, or no. What's it called?
What? Void Space Racing?
No,
or Overlanders?
Overlanders.
Oh, hashtag Race Die Run.
Oh, we'll do all of them right now.
Hashtag Race Die Run is just like one of those like 9-cent games that just feels like kind of somebody's tech demo, you know? So there you go. Lord. For 9 cents, no. Though, it's a buy it.
I don't have enough money for that.
I mean, neither.
But somebody gift it to me.
Luckily, I already have it, so I don't need the 9 cents.
Ooh, look at you bragging.
Oh, I know. No, I mean, you know, you guys have moved house before. It's, well, I ain't got 9 cents in my name, that's for sure.
I know. It took, one time I moved in here, it took pretty much the entirety of my savings, and I didn't make it up for years. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm glad that we were able to.
House. So that's good.
I'm glad that I was able to find the correct game at the bottom of my list, by the way, of games. I was just looking through them alphabetically, so you know how many hundreds of games I had to go through.
Yeah, I was otherwise, that would have been very awkward. Games on the Nintendo Switch website, and I found that one, VSR. I was like, that has to be the one. There's ring shape shipped, short name, that's got to be it. And then I found one called Turbo Skiddy Racing.
Turbo Skiddy?
It's like a guy didn't wipe his ass or something.
By the way, yeah.
I'll be sure shooting an email for that one after this.
Oh, no, this looks terrible. I mean, I'll review it.
Turbo
Skiddy. No, it's... Oh, no.
Turbo Skiddy.
Oh, my God, how much is this game?
$5.
Skiddy Bo Biddy.
No, wait, I'm gonna post a link into the general chat. Everybody needs to watch this video of the game. For one, just to see what kind of game it is, but also just seeing all four racers, the first thing that they do at the very first turn is just create a pile on.
Because
I guess you can't control anything in this game. This is from 10 years ago, though, so I guess this must be a prior, like, maybe Windows system or, you know, something like that. But yeah, this looks... This looks like one of those that would have got...
Wild.
Yeah, this would have got laughed off of, like, the PS2 or something back in the day. Yeah, if you want a good space racing game, play Fast RMX Racing, which is actually originally on the Wii U. It's an extremely fast, very similar to F-Zero GX kind of game with hovercraft ships. Runs at a smooth 60, like, pretty much the whole time. And it's fun. It doesn't have as much of a variety in the vehicles and stages as an F-Zero, but it's also half the price that was at retail, so... You know, it's not.
I got a feeling I own it too, because it definitely seems like that would be something I'd like. Whoa, it's like F-Zero.
It's really legit. So, and it's from a developer that I actually quite like. So, there's my penance for. But now I'm really curious about Turbo Skiddy Racing. I'm gonna have to report back on that one.
Nice.
I may have to play that one.
Well, it's 4 years old. I'm not sending an email for that one.
No, don't send an email for that. I don't want them to know. I don't want them to know if I'm talking about.
It's
got to
be a secret, like our unique situation.
Yeah, unique. By the way, sorry, we're getting into... I don't have a game to talk about, so this is me just killing time, but I listened to... I listened to Brooks' The Cage podcast, which was fantastic. Really, really good listen. I recommend y'all check that out. Our very own Brooke did her own podcast about an Otome game. And
I do have to ask about that real quick while you're defiled for your recommendation of it. Do you feel as though, and this is being asked by someone that thinks Brooke is awesome, do you feel as though it is good content if you're not technically encased in the Otome genre?
Yes, because they do a great job of kind of explaining anything that goes along, like as they go along. If they mention something that's like esoteric or, like, you know, requires a little bit of knowledge, like they'll actually fill you in on the the context.
So it's not like a thing where
you're
on the joke to get it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, she's talking to developers of the game. So, you know, they're, of course, speaking to, you know, all kinds of gamers and not just like community people. But yeah, it's a good listen. Go listen to it. And anyway, what I was going to say is that the word unique is used in that podcast. And when I was sitting there listening to it in my car, I was like, unique. Even though I know those rules don't apply to that podcast, I was like, I still have to do it.
I don't apply it to interviews because that would be awkward.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a very unique design. I'm like, unique. You said the word. I'll be like, what the fuck are you talking
That'd
about?
That'd be great.
You weirdo.
Yeah, no, we're not that mean about it. It's just a word. We just have fun with people who overuse it, which, you know. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, in text form.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, just hearing the word in outside of our little, you know, circle.
Dude,
here.
I can't hear it anywhere without going unique in the back of my head.
Exactly.
I'm just doing it in the back. Unique.
That's amazing. That's my
unique.
I'm happy to know that that's my legacy.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
just know that you got at least one new listener because I just subscribed to it on Yield Spotify.
Yeah, it is on Spotify for you folks that don't know. But yeah, give it a listen. I think you will enjoy. If you enjoy Brooke on this show, as we all do, then I think you will enjoy her at the helm of her own thing, too. But anyway.
Indeed.
I'm going to go check out Turbo Skiddy Racing, so I guess I'll see y'all later now.
All right. See you, Chris. Any final words?
Huh? I mean, I just said Turbo Skiddy Racing. I think that's a good final word right there.
You could skiddy on out of here.
Oh.
I think I will.
Nice.
All right. Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Later, buddy.
All right. Next game to talk about, Feed the Deep, developed and published by Luke Musket, released August 16th on Steam for $6.99. A Lovecraftian roguelite. Dive into procedurally generated undersea caves. Collect gold, upgrade your equipment, and feed the deep. Andy, Purnell, both of you, check this out. Andy, how about you start? What's Feed the Deep?
Sounds good, man. Feed the Deep is a deep sea Lovecraft roguelike that I compared highly to one of my favorite QuickTime board games, Deep Sea Adventure. Purnell, I know you're a big board game guy too. Have you ever played that one?
Absolutely. The Oink games, right?
Yeah. And you got to share the oxygen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, you dive deeper and rely on dice rolls to make it back to the submarine with your treasure before the air runs out. So anyway, back to the main game. In Deep Sea Adventure, you play as a solo diver entering underwater levels with a basic understanding of Lovecraftian creatures and your semi-willingness to explore the dark corners of the ocean in order to feed and appease the elder gods. Levels are procedurally generated, meaning going into the same level is never the same exploration experience. Armed with a flare gun, a light, and oxygen tank, in most dives, your character must locate the chum and deliver it to wherever the Elder God is hiding. You explore caves and underwater research centers, making your way cautiously through monster-infested waters. So along the way, you'll collect gold and pearls. These gold and pearls can be delivered back to the shop in order to upgrade your air tank. You can also upgrade your carrying capacity or even purchase new items like bombs, which will explode large areas of the scenery, keys to unlock chests, glow sticks to light the way, and a bunch of other items that will help you explore longer or deeper underwater. Each level is slightly different with its own set of objectives, but the overall basic concept is the same. Some levels switch your oxygen tank for a battery tank. Others will have your character scanning boxes scattered through the ocean floor to tell which ones have, for example, a treasure, chum, nothing, or even a deadly creature locked inside. There are six levels in total, and the hazard levels increase along with objectives that change for each dive. Each level even has their own set of challenges for replay value. And plus the bonus of each level too is there's mini games to be found in a lot of the levels too. So little in-game bonus material inside a game.
Very cool.
There's also a deeper story that is unlocked by finding journals, entries. You try to figure out what lurks beneath the waves and why we have to feed the deep sea creatures who are in charge. But I'll leave it there. Purnell, take it over.
This game is, I was interested in it initially, and getting access to play it just kind of cemented the valid reason as to why I am. This game does a very good job of kind of dancing between the serene, you know, diving and exploring games that I've come to love and appreciate with the survival elements that come with those too. Think like that game Subnautica. But then it slaps on this horror crap where you'll be just swimming in the dark and a red eye just zipping around. And then they do great things with the effects. Like at one point at the store, you could buy a compass, certain, because as Andy mentioned, different stages will give you different criteria for your gameplay. It also changes what the shop will have available. So the first time I saw a compass, I was like, well, I need a shop compass. I'm perfectly good at, you know, tracking my progress and knowing how to get back to the surface. Then this specific monster will shake you up, damage your visor, and disorient the entire screen. And you can't reverse it unless you surface again. At that point, a compass would have been very handy.
because I had no idea where that was going. It's at first, like the very first level of the game, it's not easy per se, but it's almost deceptive as to what you will make you think of. We talked about this game with only playing the first level. We'd have been like, well, monsters are kind of lacking and they're very easy to avoid, yada, yada, yada. But then they pull the wall off from under you and they go, no, actually, the further in you go, the higher the quote unquote attack risk meter is on the screen, on the intro screen, indicating that you're going to be dealing with some harsher crap, monster and otherwise, when you dive deep. I also like that unexpected element to the horror is silt. Have you come across any of the silt crap, Andy, when you're playing it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time. And you mentioned earlier that there's some monsters that kind of disorient you. Yeah, I was kind of in the same boat then as well. You know, luckily I was in a level that I had just entered and recognized, you know, the way out. So I was good to go there. But the silt definitely throws you off as well.
Yes, it does. It's freaking gold. And then you just when you think you're comfortable, they throw another monkey wrench at you. Like early on, you're like, well, as long as I get to the surface, I'll always have water. And occasionally you might find, depending on how the level generation works, you might find a pocket of oxygen in the water to refill your tank. And then they throw you in a level where you start out submerged, and it's like, good luck, chump. You're dying from the start. And by the way, if you dawdle in the shop, your oxygen keeps dropping. I put the game down while in the shop to go to the kitchen, came back, I was dead. It's like, well, that's great. So, yeah, this game is good. It's very good. And it's going to make you feel anxious. It does, which I think, given what they were going for, I think that is a compliment. This game will make you anxious.
Well, should it make you anxious about spending the money to get it? It is $6.99. What are your verdicts, Andy?
I mean, as to kind of touch on Purnell's comment there, I would agree. It's deceptively good. It's, you look at it and it at first glance it's kind of like, I don't know about this game, you know, maybe I'll play it, you know, maybe I'll give it a shot. But there are layers to the deep that are missed upon first look until you actually play it and dive into it. Pun intended. How much did you say it was? $6.99. It's on sale right now.
$6.99. Yep.
Oof. Yeah, that's steal of a deal for this one. That's a whale of a deal.
Very good. All right. Well, Andy, that is it for you. Did you want to stick around to the end, or are you going to bounce?
I'll stick around to the end. Yeah. Why not?
Cool. All right. Well, we got one. What? Oh, yeah, Purnell, you got to give your verdict. Duh. I'm okay. Jumping the gun tonight.
He's like, I got to talk about this game.
All right, Purnell, what's your verdict on Feed the Deep?
Oh, this is by far a simple, easy buy. And we didn't even mention one last bit, which is that if you feel as though you might get through the difficulties, I'm like, well, this game was too easy, I'm done. Well, the levels are seed-generated, so it's a different experience per phase. But also, there's challenges you can undergo, which make the game just outright mean. Like not shopping ever, getting to the bottom of the deep and feeding the deep. So that will never happen for me. But if you think you got the chops, knock yourself out. But either way, this is an easy buy it recommendation.
Very cool. All right. Now we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Thief Simulator 2, developed by Cookie Dev and Ultimate Games, published by Ultimate Games, released August 14th on Series X and S for $19.99. Thief Simulator 2 will transport you to a world full of valuables, expensive cars, and rustling banknotes, as long as you find a way to steal them. Aki, tell us about your time in Thief Simulator 2.
Okay, in this, you play as a thief who has fucked over the wrong people, namely the Mafia. So good on you! You shouldn't steal money that belongs to people who can have you whacked. Just a thought. And so you're starting off in some serious debt that you really need to take care of, or else you're not going to live for long. Thankfully, the game doesn't actually...
By the way, you cut out when you did the woohoo. That's how loud it was.
Nice.
All I heard was like...
Very nice. Thankfully, the game doesn't really care about your debt. Thank God. So, whilst it's mentioned to you, and I believe it's somewhere in the statistics or something, the game doesn't actually... It's not like, oh yeah, you need to pay back this debt, like, now or you're gonna die, thankfully. So instead, you're doing little missions for your friend who's allowing you to rent their house for an unbelievably good price of $150 a week, which is fucking unheard of these days. And yeah, you get access to, at first, one little neighborhood that has, like, 16 houses or something on it, and you get to go in and you get to rob literally every last one of them motherfuckers blind. It's great. You do level up throughout the game. Everything that you still gives you a certain amount of experience. After a period of time, the items do respawn, but it can take a long time. However, by the time you make a circle, everything will have respawned like halfway through. So you're not going to be hurting for stuff to pick up, because you can only carry so much crap in your backpack or in your car. So, and yeah, you get little missions on your computer, because not only is the guy who's renting the house calling you up and saying, hey, I need you to get this for me out of this house, please and thank you. There's also a computer in your house that allows you to take on thief contracts where you have to go steal a specific item from a specific house. Or even there's a little system that's kind of like a good neighbor thing, except for it's like a hell neighbor. So they're like, hey, yeah, I need someone to go and knock this motherfucker out of this house. Hey, I need you to break these people's air conditioner, because fuck them. And you can go pick up those missions and do those as well. Just to, you know, they all give you a little bit of money. And you use that money to buy new gear. It starts off real simple with, like, oh, you need a crowbar, because you can't punch metal into pieces. But with enough wax from a crowbar, you might destroy it. And it gets really, really advanced all the way up to, like, oh yeah, here's a key fob where you can hack someone's key, or here's a computer system that allows you to remotely operate a car to steal it. So there's a lot to do. There's also, as I said, you level up, so there's a level up system, that gives you different skills. Some of those are like, you get the ability to lockpick, you get the ability to pick different locks, which require different tools. You get to learn how to pickpocket people, which is fun, but really fucking irritating to do. Stealing cars, breaking into safes, so on and so forth. All the way to specialized equipment knowledge, like, oh, you can now use... laughing gas to knock people out, or here's a fucking trank gun, have fun. So yeah, the game really just revolves around you casing places. You can mark the people that live there, and it tells you a little bit of what they do throughout the day, and you can slowly fill up that entire bar and learn everything they do throughout the entire day, so you know when you have to go in and start stealing stuff, if you care whether they're there or not. I've found I don't really care, but I'm good at this, so. There is a couple different modes for this game. There's standard, hardcore, and survival. Survival just increases the cost of items by, I think, 3 or 4 fold for, like, eating and stuff, and you actually have to. Hardcore is what I'm currently playing in, because there's an achievement for beating the story mode in that, and I was like, that's not going to be too hard. And basically, if you get caught by the police, they take all of the shit that you have on you, and if you leave without breaking out of jail, you sacrifice basically all the money you're carrying too, because fuck you, that's why. So you very quickly learn not to do that and to just break out, which isn't very hard once you have a few skills unlocked. And the funny thing is, you might want to get yourself sent to the jail simply so you can break out and steal all the police's shit too. I thought that was fucking hilarious because, like, they all have computers. You can steal all of them. It don't matter. From the laptops, monitors, keyboards. If it ain't nailed down, you're gonna steal it from them. From the cops, while there are cops in the station. When people catch you, they do freak out and immediately call the cops on you. So you're going to be running from cops kind of regularly unless you're good at avoiding people or wait until they're asleep or have left the house or something. And yeah, I played the first game and I liked the first game, and this one I think improved on a lot of the issues. I would have liked to have seen the map be larger, because there in the first one, I think there was like three neighborhoods you could go to, I believe. They were pretty small. This one only has two neighborhoods, though. I think they are slightly larger, but I would like just a lot more, a whole lot more, because this is just really fun to go in and just steal literally everything. I will pick a house and I will literally go through and steal every last item out of that house because I can before I move on to the next one. Just because fuck those people in particular that day. Because like at this point, like in the game, I might be halfway through this game at this point. I have over 150 grand in my bank account. I have everything bought, and I'm still going in like, you know, this house has too much shit in it. I think I need to take everything.
That's awful.
Yeah, it really brings in your inner terrible person, and it is fantastic.
Oh boy. Any other thoughts on the game, or are you ready to give it a verdict?
Well, you can knock people out with the trank gun or the sleeping gas, or you can just use the crowbar and smack them in the fucking head. That's my last bit of thoughts. That's always fun.
That's how I get people to listen to this show.
Damn straight.
Yeah. Crack them in the back of the head, find their phone, put our show on, and then leave.
Hey, whatever works, yo.
It's gotten us to double digits.
Woot.
Yeah, buddy. $20, your verdict on Thief Simulator 2.
Oh, hell yeah. This is a fantastic game, and I haven't been playing it the entire time we've been doing reviews today. Totally.
Yes,
not at all. Yeah, probably.
Well, I believe you.
You shouldn't. And right. Now that this review's over, I'm going to go play some more. I do want to finish this.
Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through. Thanks to you three for being here, hanging out, keeping me company. Big thanks to Chris for coming on, hanging out with us, and massive thanks to George for coming on, making the time to do his review and keep some time on the show. Music this episode. We're talking about Thieves. How about Forever Rachel from Final Fantasy VI?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I remember the old Project Majestic mix album. Jan Van Valberg did a really cool version of it, so we're going to play that.
Awesome. Sounds like a plan.
Indeed. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
I was thinking about some of that street racing game, but I couldn't think of anything that didn't involve just wipe front to back or something. I don't know.
Wipe front to back.
What? We figured out the game, Purnell. We don't have to keep thinking about it. It's over. I love now.
It. I mean, just because I've thought of big titties doesn't mean I ever stop thinking about big titties.
Okay, well then keep thinking about Skitty, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. Skitty.
Big old skitties.